look at I believe in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at a very practical way. What does the Holy Spirit do in and through us? So this is the first of those. What does the Holy Spirit do in and through us? So we'll have our reading, which James is going to bring to us from 1 Corinthians, and then Pete will speak to us.
The reading this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, and the last verse, and then continuing into chapter 14. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. This is the word of the Lord.
It's a big task to talk about the work of God, the Holy Spirit. This passage talks about gifts, and I want to say just a small amount about a small gift, which in itself is a small part of all that the Holy Spirit does. Gifts. One of the traditional gifts at Christmas for Dad is what? Socks. You get something that is dull and boring and ordinary, and you wrap it up in really glittery paper. On the outside, it looks glorious. On the inside, nothing special. Spiritual gifts are not Christmas socks. Got that? Instead of ordinary wrapped in glory, they actually come as glory wrapped in ordinary. Like a beautiful piece of jewellery wrapped in brown wrapping paper. That's a bit like lots of things in Christianity. The Son of God came to earth wrapped as an ordinary human baby. Some people thought he was just another child, just a carpenter, just another revolutionary. But wrapped in ordinary came the most glorious gift we've ever seen. Take off the brown paper and the gift sparkles. And the New Testament explains that Christians can receive spiritual gifts. These are often quiet, unassuming little things, appearing ordinary on the outside. But inside, they glitter and shine. There are three lists of these gifts in the New Testament. One in Romans, one in the first letter to the Corinthians, and one in Ephesians. And down the years, some people have taken them and tried to wrap them up in glittery wrapping paper to make them special in the wrong way, to make a fuss. But these gifts should be more practical than a screwdriver, better at guiding you than a sat-nav, better for your health than an aspirin. Nothing to make a big fuss about, but really, really practical and helpful. So what are these spiritual gifts? There's about 20 listed in those three sections in the Bible. They come in different groups. We can think about them in different ways. I'm not going to look at all 20 this morning, you'll be relieved to hear. This is not an African service. Some gifts, if you look at some of those things, they look more like natural, ordinary talents that you can have whether you're a Christian or not, it would seem. Others are supernatural, Things that you absolutely, categorically could not do without the Spirit of God working in you. Supernatural gifts. Things like miraculous prayer healing or speaking in a new language without hearing it. I want to specifically underline that there's no clear distinction between the natural and the supernatural. There are clearly some things which seem ordinary, kind of human gifts, but God comes into them and does something special. Other things which do seem to be more up the amazing, couldn't do it on your own end of the spectrum. But there's no clear marker between the two. It sort of gets muddied into each other. There's a lot of crossover in these things. They're not what my research colleagues talk about as mutually exclusive and collectively exhaustive. Ignore that. Instead, we get this kind of overlap. So, I've been asked to speak about how the Holy Spirit can take people, their lips and their voice, to speak the word of God. Sometimes their hands to bring healing. Sometimes other ways in which amazing things can happen. So what's your approach as you step into the beginning of this series? Here's four possible personal aims for these series. First of all, you might benefit from somebody else using a gift that they have been given. Does that make sense? They get it, you get the benefit. Would you like that in this series? That'd be great, wouldn't it? That you get helped by somebody else having a go and doing this. Or maybe you might be somebody who can remember months or years ago that you were used, that you had a gift, but it's kind of got neglected and forgotten. So here's the second one of these. Maybe in this period of time, you rediscover something that you used to experience and is kind of, somehow, where did that go out of your life? And it's been forgotten or it's become rare. It used to be common. Anybody like that? Any nods around here? People would like a bit of that? That you rediscover a neglected gift. Or thirdly, how about this one? You may have a gift, but it's secret and it's private and you've never told anybody about it and you've never done it in public. And maybe this is the time over these weeks. Would that be good? If some of these things came out so that other people could get the benefit rather than it just being a private thing. A few nods there. People reckon that it's beginning to get scary, isn't it? Or what about this one? Maybe there's a gift. Anybody put a hand up, please, if you've experienced all 20 gifts. So there's room for growth, isn't there? There's room for us to all do this one. Then actually what happens is God gives us a gift. I'm not talking about wacky stuff, bizarre, you know, Christmas wrapping paper things. I'm talking about quiet, ordinary, practical, as useful as a pair of scissors. As useful as something which makes a real difference. Notice what's not on that list. I could have put up, fill up your head with theory. Why is it not on the list? The reason it's not on the list is because Christianity is for living, isn't it? Not just for theories in our heads. So, the Bible passage that we got, I want to pick out three themes from that passage and speak about them very briefly. First of all, I want to talk about purpose. What's it all for? And if you've ever read the chapter before, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, again and again and again, what does it talk about? It talks about love, doesn't it? This is the fundamental driver for this whole series about the work of God the Holy Spirit. Why do we need spiritual gifts? Because they're useful in demonstrating love to other people. So Maggie and I lead a group that meets in our home. Few of you belong to a home group? Yeah? People do? Great. Okay, well, we've got one like that. There's a guy called Ian. I had a little text exchange with him one day, just a few weeks ago. And he told me that there'd been a problem at his house and the outside wall had got bashed in. To such an extent that somebody could get into his house. So, what happened? He told me that. He let me know there was a need there. What does love do in that situation? Well, first of all, I exercise the spiritual gift of administration. I rang Adam and Pete, two friends of mine. Okay? These are people who've been given the spiritual gift of serving. Adam was quite funny, actually, because he said, oh, I've just come home and I've just had my tea. And I said, it's all right, Adam, don't worry, I'm sure it'll be sorted. It's not a problem. And I put the phone down, and it was almost 1, 2, 3, 4, ding, ding, I'll be down. He just needed that little moment to think about it. Adam and Pete, Wolf their tea, kissed their wives, and were down at Ian's house. We spent the evening putting a joist in, doing stuff. I'm rubbish at practical stuff. Maggie will tell you. Yeah, she's nodding vigorously. My gift was to get the people to go. That's what I did. Okay, is this wacky? This is dead ordinary, isn't it? They had the gift of technical skills, the gift of serving. They put the wall back up. Well, they started it. The next day, Callum, who's 16, he's just started bricklaying course. Oh, that's interesting. Went down and got a chance to practice the theory, not in the classroom, in a real project, and between them they put the wall back up, and it was safe. These guys have significant gifts. Pete was sat there at one point, knocking out bricks from a load-bearing wall. Knock, knock, check. Knock, knock, check. They did this job, put it all together. What was the result? Two things. One, Ian was absolutely blown away by the fact that people he didn't know came and helped him. He understood something about the love of God because people exercise spiritual gifts. Am I making sense? Yeah? The second thing was, because he received a gift, he's exercising a gift. Tomorrow morning, Ian is getting on a plane to fly to a place called Sierra Leone to build houses. Get it? He received a gift. He gave a gift. In place of the slums, he's going on a project to do that. We asked him why he's going. He said, well, I thought God told me to do that, and it'd be rude not to. It's the love that's key. It's not the wacky spiritual gift, it's the impact. In this case, the possibility that people have a life beyond Ebola. They in turn understand more of God's love. This is the love that drives the need for spiritual gifts. So when a member of my group needs help from God, we need spiritual gifts. We need them in our group. Do you need them in yours? We need them. When Jenny's sister went for a little run last year and dropped dead, leaving behind her husband and teenage daughters. We needed the compassion of God, the comforter, the Holy Spirit to come and help us. When Andy, just a few months ago, got a new flat, the first time after 15 years of his life being destroyed by alcohol, he needed the endurance of the Spirit, the gift, the strength of God to help him. He's doing really well. When Carol Ann stood up in a different church, we went as a team to go and take a service, and she stood at the front of church and she read the Bible. She's never stood at the church before. She said Pauline, a bit anxious, being at the front. Needs courage, you need the help of God. And it's that power of God that does it. So that's why we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us. We need this strength and help, the ability to do things beyond our ability. That's why we need them, and that's why we need them to help each other. So, what are we to do? The purpose of the gifts is to demonstrate the love of God. The second thing that I want to talk about there is to talk about what motivates us, the passion. So we can go up to the second bullet points, Tony. I've forgotten these people. You're quite right. So let's just for a moment, I want to talk about the kind of people we might be as we come up to this, as we think about these things. So it's the scripture says that we're to eagerly desire, that's a passion that we're to have, to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. But where are you in this? Sometimes, maybe, some of you may feel a bit like this guy, Harry the Hotline. Every time you come before God and pray, words come, you get ideas, you get thoughts, you get inspiration, you get blessing, you get a sense of things. Or maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe it's easy for that person to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Are you Harry the Hotline? Maybe you feel a bit more like Deaf Debbie. I pray and I pray and I pray and I try and I listen and I do what I can and I never hear anything. These people seem to jump up and say, I think God said, and I just never hear. You feel like that sometimes? Anybody feel like that? I just never get anything at all. My wife put her hand up here. Deaf Debbie. What about disappointed Dave? See, there was a moment in Dave's history when he really thought God had spoken to him. Actually, it was about healing. He really thought God had given him the faith to believe that his friend would recover. He felt it so strongly, and his friend died. And now he's so disappointed he's given up. I thought I heard God. I must have got it wrong. There's no point in trying. Anybody there? Been there? What about this person? What about Belinda Busy? It's all very well, this stuff about listening to God. If I had a minute's peace to do that, it might be children, it might be responsible work, it might be a busy life, it might be caring for the younger generation or the older generation. You just don't have time. Or it may be that the time that should be given to prayer and seeking God is completely soaked up by distractions or addictions that distract you away from doing this stuff. Or there again, what about Lenny the Learner? Which is basically saying, all this stuff is new, I've got no idea what these gifts are, I've got no personal experience, but I'm up for making a start. Where are you at with these things? Perhaps you're itching to get started. To all of these people, the scripture says, eagerly desire. If you're excited about it, desire. If you're disappointed, if you feel like you've failed, desire. If you're the cleverest person in the church, desire spiritual gifts. If you're the shyest person in the church, do what? Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. If you're the youngest believer, You feel like you've only been a Christian a week. What do? Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It's for all of us. All of us. But just a word of warning. Some people sit there. Is anybody? I'm not going to ask you to confess. Have you ever come across anybody who counts their Christmas cards? Counts their Christmas presents? Some folks do it. As if it's a way of measuring how much you're loved. Turn it into a key performance indicator, like waiting times. And what happens with those things? You might hit the target, but you miss the point. And the thing with these spiritual gifts, some people say, oh, well, I've not got this gift, therefore I'm not a proper Christian. God doesn't like me as much as he likes other people. We just need to desire the gifts. And just one point to underline that. The gifts are given to the church. So if you've got a bit hooked into, have I got this gift or have I got that gift? Get the focus off yourself and pray that the gift will be released to the church. Doesn't matter who's got it, as long as we've got it together. Agree? We need the gifts in the church. So it doesn't really matter whether it's given to you or somebody else. You desire for yourself, desire for the church as a whole. Then we might get some progress. We need all the gifts across the church. Finally, I want to say something about, having said something about the purpose of the gifts, which is about love. About the passion for the gifts. I just want to say something about the process by which we can receive gifts. I hope during this series you'll have lots of conversations with one another about your experiences with these things. I learn most about how the Holy Spirit moves, how gifts are given, by just praying with people and then talking about what happened. Because sometimes unexpected things happen when we pray. If they don't, I wonder how close we are to the God of creativity. He's always doing new things. Prayer times should be adventurous, exciting, creative, unexpected, spontaneous, unpredictable, amazing, tearful, passionate, eager, bewildered times, shouldn't it? All of it. All of it. I was thinking about doing this, I won't. But it's weird sometimes how secretive we are about what gifts God has given us. You know, you don't talk about your salary, do you? You don't talk about certain health conditions. Christians often don't talk about what gifts they've seen happen in their life. As though they're more like trophies than tools. These things are tools. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands about who can speak in tongues. But I bet there's a lot of people here. People are. Find the people. Find out their experience. How did that start for you? How did that work? Have you ever been used to give a message to somebody else? Have you done the thing that Pauline did? Just as you pray and you think, something comes to mind? Have you told somebody else about it? Let's talk to each other, because that's a great way to learn. So, a couple of things about experience and then I'm done. Just a couple of things about how we get spoken messages. Hear what God says, tell somebody else. Technical language is prophecy. So how do people receive these words from God? I understand that some people see writing in their mind's eye. I don't do that, it's never happened to me. Some people hear a voice. Never done that. What I get, for what it's worth, other people will have other stories, I get something that is more like a vivid idea. I came across a phrase once, it was a luminous thought. Isn't that great? An idea that just, and it sticks. And it's there every time you come back. It's there. Does that sound right? Pauline's nodding. And every time you pray, there it is again. And you just kind of go, it sticks in your mind. An unexpected memory. A vivid image. Sometimes I get the message all in one go. Sometimes I don't. I just get the start of it. You ever tried a box of tissues? There's a little bit of one showing. How do you get to see the next one? Pull the first one out, and then the next one's ready. And sometimes messages are a bit like that. As you say it, you get a bit more, and you get a bit more, and a bit more. When I realise that something seems to be there, I pray and ask God if it's something to share with other people, or is it just for me? Sometimes it comes with quite a strong emotion, as if I'm connecting, not just with the mind of God, but with the heart of God. Sometimes it's more longing. Prayer ministry team, do you feel this sometimes? Before you have any intelligence of what to say, the heart is moving. There's compassion. There's stuff stirring in you. There's real concern. We're praying out of that. What else is happening? I'm getting nervous. Usually. Do I have to stand up and speak up? It's odd, because I talk for a living. I'm okay standing up in front of a group, but if I get that real sense of something, and I've just remembered something, as we prayed in the vestry, I thought, ooh, bamboo time. And as I dare to say that, I'm scared. Some plants grow slowly, don't they? And there's periods of time when we grow slowly. I just offer the thought, maybe, that you're coming into bamboo time, when there'll be rapid growth. It's great to find a place to practice. Get into a group where you can pray with other people. Find a prayer partner or a small group where you can pray. Group leaders, make sure there's time. Even in things like PCC meetings. Take time to listen, as well as time to speak your intercessions. Time to practice. Give it a try. Expect to make mistakes. Human beings learn by going through three steps. One, you don't do it. Two, you do it badly. Three, you might learn to do it well. Okay? Expect to do it badly. Give it a go, he says, knocking over the furniture. It's okay to get it wrong sometimes. Sometimes we're so caught up with our own sense of dignity, we'd rather deprive other people from the blessing rather than be embarrassed. Brothers and sisters, get over it. Because the other people need to hear it. And if you make a mistake, it's cool. We're full of that sort of stuff. But maybe what you've got will bless somebody else. Please, please, prefer them to yourself. Their blessing and my embarrassment. It's got to be their blessing that's the winner, hasn't it? Got to be more important. So finally, how do we share? Just a very quick thought, which is, have you ever done a bring and share meal? Yeah? What do? You prepare your gift, your quiche or bowl of salad or whatever it is. What do you do with it? You take it and you put it on the table. Sometimes, have you ever been in a situation where at the end of the night, when we're packing up, yours is still there, nobody ate it? So it must have been wrong to bring it, mustn't it? No. It's great to bring it. It's up to the people. Isn't it? They help themselves if they want it. Your job is simply to bring it and put it on the table. I hope over these next few weeks that you will find lots of places in the life of the church, with one person in prayer ministry, with a friend, just a moment as you sit next to them in the seats, in prayer times, in other settings, even out there, not just in the meeting place but in the marketplace, you'll find opportunities where God gives you something that you can share with somebody else. Take courage. Give it a go. Do it badly. Because that's the way to get through to doing it well. God bless you.
Thanks, Pete, for lots of things to think about and to do. If during communion time you feel God has given you something, then I've got a series of postcards here. Just pick up a postcard, write what you feel God might have said on with your pencil, and then drop the postcard in the basket during communion or after the service. And we'll have a look and see. Let's just see if God might be speaking to us. Let's stand and pray in song. God be gracious to us.